All right, we're going to continue our study about spiritual maturity. We've been talking about this for several weeks. We've got two or three more lessons we're going to do. And this is just to simply encourage us to move on to better things. We can't remain children forever. So we want to get into some of the meat of the Word and build up our Christianity and be the type of people that God expects us to be. And so that's what we're working on. And today we're going to talk a little bit about attitude, something we could all stand a little work on. So we'll talk a little bit about our attitudes. All right, before we get started, let's review our prayer list. Do we have names that we're unaware of that we need to be praying for? Anyone know of anyone that we need to add to our list? Okay. We know that, of course, that people are traveling, still out for the holidays, and so we want to remember them. And there's people all usually that it's a hard time of year for them because we have people that are getting together with family and friends and enjoying themselves, and there are people in this world that just don't have that like we do. And so instead of being a joyful time for them, it's a depressing time for them. And so I always want to mention them every time this time of year and be mindful of them. If you know of somebody in that situation, maybe someone who is widowed or alone or maybe has lost somebody, that we make a special effort to visit those people and encourage them because they need that. And so we want to pray for those people also. Continue to read your bulletin of the names of those that are in there. There's some that have been in there for a long time. It doesn't mean we don't want to continue to pray for them. It's just we want to understand that there's a special need there. So check your bulletin for those names also. Okay? If there's nothing else, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, it is an honor and a blessing for us to be here this morning and to offer up to you our worship. And we just ask and pray that you would be with us as we do so, because we want to honor you as being our God, our Creator, the giver of every good gift in life. For those that we've just mentioned, dear Father, especially those that are hurting at this time, particular time of year, we just ask a special blessing upon each and every one of them. And we pray that if there are things that we can do for them, and I know we say this a lot, but we need to be mindful of those things so that we can go and minister to them and to help them to know that they are needed and that they're not alone in this world, and help them to feel important. We thank you so much for the blessings of life. You've answered our prayers in so many positive ways, especially with those who have been ailing in their health and have been restored to health. We have those that are still recovering from different situations in life, and we just pray that you would be with them and help them to continue with their recovery. And just bless us always, dear Father, to remain faithful to you and strong towards you in all the things that we do. We thank you so much for your blessing of your Son, Jesus, who made the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And so everything that we do, dear Father, we want to do in his name. And so we offer this prayer in his name. Amen. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the idea of different attitudes. Now, this is just like all of our lessons. This is not an extensive list, okay, because there's other attitudes that we could talk about this morning. In fact, if you want to look at some attitudes, go over to 1 Peter chapter 2, or 2 Peter chapter 1, I guess it is, where I'm at. I got those reversed. I'm good at that. But there's a list over there of what we call the Christian graces. That's where Peter says, add to your knowledge virtue, and your virtue this, you know, and he just goes on down and lists those things. We want to work towards those things. And also over in Galatians chapter 5, there's a list of what we call the fruits of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, those things. And so those are all attitudes that we need to be working toward, okay? But I've just picked out a few attitudes that I want to talk about this morning. It's not that they're more important than others. It's just because I wanted to. And so we'll talk about those this morning. So you can do that when you teach the class. You get to pick what you want to talk about. So that's the good part about it. Okay, I want you to think with me about the way people respond to the challenges of life. You know, you could take five people and put them in a room, and there could be some event, whatever the case may be, that would happen, and you might get five different responses to that same event. Okay? We all have problems in life. There's sickness, there's trials, there's loss of loved ones, there's financial problems. You know, we all have our problems, and people will respond to those situations in different ways. Some people will become strong and more Christ-like by depending upon God. And then there are others that will become resentful. You know, the why me, God? What did I do to you type attitude? Blame God for our problems and situations. But what I'm saying is that we respond in different ways. Okay? Why is that? What makes us, I mean, we're all human beings. Why do we respond to the same situation in different ways? Okay. Maybe it's the attitude that we bring to the table. Okay. And so if we don't develop the right attitudes in life, then, you know, it's going to be a problem for us because we will not respond in the same way. Now, I'm not picking on anybody here. I'm just saying that we've all witnessed things like a marriage relationship where you will have one man and woman that they show a lot of concern for one another, and there's a great lot of looking out for one another and trying to help each other to be better individuals in life. And then there's the opposite, where they're constantly bickering and fighting, you know, and you don't want to be around them, you don't even want to be close to them, you know. Well, what caused that? Well, it's the attitudes that we have sometimes. And what I'm saying is that that same condition can exist in the church. Okay. We find congregations of God's people that are loving, caring people that work together and support the different works of the church. And then when you go to another place, you find the situation where it seems like people feel it's their responsibility to point out the faults in everybody else. You know, so they're constantly bickering and fighting and never getting along. Okay? So that's part of what we're talking about when we talk about attitudes. The situation doesn't change. Okay? It's the people and their attitudes that change. Now, when you think about these situations in life, there are things that happen to us in life that causes your body physically to respond to those situations in different ways. Okay? So when we talk about attitudes, it's not just a decision, it's something physical too. Okay? Now, for example, what happens when you get embarrassed? Face turns a little red, doesn't it? You know, and you get a little shy. You know, those types of things, you know. That's your body's response to that embarrassment, okay? And so what I'm saying is some people will be embarrassed by things that other people are not, you know, and that's okay. That's not a problem. What I'm saying is that your body is going to respond to those things. And that produces in your body hormones and things that cause your body to do certain things. So we need to be mindful. If you come in, say, from work and you're just exhausted as you can be, what do you want to do? I mean, you're tired. Maybe you're dirty. You're hungry. You know, what do you want to do when you get home? Yeah, you want to sit down and prop your feet up. And what happens if your spouse or your children come over and demand your attention? What's your first response to that? No way. Give me. I'm tired. You know. So what I'm saying is there's responses that our body makes. And when you're tired and exhausted, you know, then you have a tendency to want to snap out at people, you know, and a lot of times that is our loved ones that respond in kind sometimes. So we need to be careful of that. And the Bible is full of examples of people who showed different types of attitudes. Think about Job. Okay. Now what happened to Job? Lost everything he had, didn't he? Okay. He had a family. He had all kinds of livestock. He had just his health. And he got taken away. Now be careful. Don't say God took it away. Okay. And we have a problem with that sometimes because we say God took it away from him. Listen, God is the giver of everything that's good. He doesn't take it away from us. Okay. Who took it away from him? Satan did it, okay? Remember that conversation? God says, okay, go ahead. Try your luck. Okay, so what I'm saying by that is God allows these things to happen, but it's Satan that's causing them, okay? It's Satan that causes them. Never, never blame God for the bad things that happen in your life, okay? I'm just telling you right now, you're getting in trouble when you do that because you're crossing the line because God doesn't do those things to you, all right? It's Satan that does those things. And a lot of times people will blame God for the bad things that happen. You're in dangerous territory when you do that. Okay? Right. So Job endured all of these things, and the reason he was able to endure those things was what? It was his attitude towards towards God. Okay. And his friends were telling him, Job, you had to sin. You know, he had those three friends. They badgered him and said, you had to have sinned. You did something wrong. Come on, fess up, you know. And they worked on him over and over and over again. And Job's sitting there going, I didn't do anything, you know. And then he started questioning God. And God had to give him that little speech about, where were you when I created the world? You know, where were you when I did all these things? Who do you think you are? You know. And so, by and by, you know, Job overcame these things and everything was restored to him because of his attitude. Now, if he responded like a lot of people did, you know, he would have lost his salvation. You know, God, why are you doing this to me? He could have become angry and he could have become bitter. Okay, so Job's attitude was the proper attitude. Now we get over to the New Testament and we meet a fellow by the name of Judas. Judas Iscariot. Okay, what type of attitude did Judas have? Yeah, he kind of a selfish guy, wasn't he? When they brought the example, they brought the perfume to anoint Jesus' feet. What did he say? Now, why don't we sell this? You know, we could have fed 100 people with all of this. You know, when actually what he meant was, why didn't they put it in the treasury that I'm the keeper of? You know, you see his attitude. And so what I'm saying is we're not alone in this world when it comes to attitudes, good or bad. Okay. So what I want us to understand is that our success or failure could largely depend upon the attitude that we bring to the table. Okay? So let's just talk about a few of these attitudes this morning. I don't know if we'll get through the ones that I've selected here, but that's okay. We don't have to. Let's talk a little bit about the idea of optimism. Okay? And it's funny because I met Fern at the door this morning and she was coming in and I said, well, it's good to see you. She said, yeah. She said, I needed to be here. I don't really feel all that good, you know, but I wanted to come, you know. And I got to thinking, glass, half empty, half full. How do we look at it? Okay. The idea was she wanted to be here, and she was able to, even though she had an excuse not to. Not a one of us would have blamed her if she were not here, would we? Okay. But she wanted to be here, and she felt well enough, and she got up, and she came. Right? The same attitude that you presented there. You know, you had the attitude and you wanted to be here, so you came. So that's a positive attitude. It's the idea of optimism. Someone go over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. This is Paul talking here. And someone else look up Proverbs 16 and 20. All right, and then I want someone to look up Philippians 4 through 7. Okay. All right, there's three passages. All right, who's got Romans 8 and 31? Okay, would you read that for us? Yes. Okay. What did he say? If God's for you, it don't matter. Nobody can be against you because you got the man on your side. Okay, Proverbs 16 and verse 20.
He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts the Lord, happy
is he. All right. So what was the condition there? He who trusts in the Lord, okay, he who dedicates himself to God is going to find good. Okay. So what's my attitude about all this? Okay. If I'm striving to do what's right, then my attitude is right, then you're going to find the things that are good. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus.
Okay, and drop down and read verse 13 also. Okay, so what does that tell us about our optimism? Christians ought to be the most optimistic people in the world. Okay? There's no reason for a Christian not to be optimistic. Your future is set. Okay? God has fought the battle. It's over with. It's won. Okay? And you're the recipient of those things that He's done for us. So, we need to make sure that we're in Christ. And then we receive all of those blessings. There's no reason for us not to be optimistic. Okay? But some people will start out their Christian life like I'm not going to make it. Okay? They got this pessimistic attitude, like, I don't know if I can do this. You know, I don't know if I can make it to the finish line. You know, something's going to happen to me along the way. Or we'll say things like, well, there's no way I can do the things in the church that so-and-so does, you know. So I'm just an unimportant person. You know, I don't count. Okay? Those are the wrong kinds of attitudes. Okay? We've talked over and over since I've been in here in this class and here talking about the importance of your role in the church and the fact that everyone is important and no one is more important than anybody else. Okay? I don't care if you're standing up in a pulpit preaching or if you're out there mowing the grass or whatever the situation is. If you're fulfilling a role, that's where God put you, and you are important. Okay? So never think that you don't count. Never think that you're not important. Now, there's a danger in this, too, and that's in the fact that we can overemphasize our importance. Okay? So we can go the opposite way. And so instead of being a God-conscious person, I become a me-conscious person. Okay? And we get that attitude of the Pharisee and the publican, you know, oh, God, you're lucky to have me. You know, boy, I do all these things for you. That's the wrong attitude. Okay? And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute, about the idea of humility, if we get through that. Okay? So optimism is a very important part of the Christian life. All right? We need to be that half-full guy, you know, the glass half-full, okay? Because that's the attitude that God requires. If you think of it, you know, we're the most blessed people that there are. I don't care if you lose everything you have materially. You're still the most blessed people in the world. And it's hard for us to grasp that concept sometimes. And when trying times come and when bad times come, we lose our confidence in God because our attitude is such that we want to know, why is this happening to me? I go to church. You know, I read my Bible. But why is this happening to me? But if we understand what the Scriptures are telling us, they're telling us those times come to make you a better person. Okay, now what James says? He says, count it all joy when trials come upon you. You know, because if you endure, you're going to be a better person when it's all over. So I don't know about you. I don't wish for those times to come. But when they come, if my attitude is, okay, God's in control, and this will pass, okay, so just, you know, hang in there, baby. You're going to be okay. And then when it's all over with, you're going to be a better person for it. Okay, you're going to be a stronger person for it. So that's the idea of the optimism. Okay, all right, let's talk a little bit about the idea of generosity versus selfishness. Okay, let's go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21. Philippians 2 and verse 21. Read that one more time. Yes, ma'am.
For all seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Now that's Paul. Now that's not what he's telling us to do. He's making a comment about some of the people that he had converted. Okay. And he's saying that's not the attitude we want. What is selfishness? What does it mean? Someone do. Okay, you don't share with others. Why don't we share with others? Yeah, get that me attitude in there. This is mine. Yeah, I'm going to keep this for myself. Yeah, it's the me, me, me. And anytime the me comes before God, we get ourselves in trouble. Okay, so that's the idea of selfishness. And we want to be a generous people. Okay. This, when we're not generous, when we're selfish, it causes us to seek what we want. It takes God out of the picture and puts ourselves on that throne, so to speak. Over in Acts chapter 19, you can turn over if you want to, about verse 27 along in there. Paul was preaching in Ephesus, and the occasion was that the a lot of the people that were practicing the magic arts, the black arts, okay, they came to believe in the gospel, and it says that they had a big book burning. And all these magical arts people came in there and they burned all of these books. Okay? Now there was a fellow witnessing all this by the name of Demetrius. Anybody remember who Demetrius was? What he did? He was a silversmith. Okay? And what was his attitude towards what was going on? So he was there and he was witnessing all this and he saw all these former sorcerers and witchcraft people turning to the gospel, and he said, he called all together and he says, "Hey, wait a minute, guys, we got a problem here. You know, how did they make their living?" Yeah, they made these little silver idols to the goddess Diana. That's where that temple was in Ephesus. And all over the city, the people would come from, you know, all world around to worship this goddess, Roman goddess Diana. And he says, if they continue to preach and these people keep being going and converted to Christianity, it's going to ruin our livelihood. Nobody's going to buy our idols. You know, and we're going to lose our way of making a living. What does that have to do with selfishness and gratitude? What was going on around Demetrius? What was he witnessing? He was witnessing the fact that the gospel was being preached and that people were being converted to the gospel of Christ. And rather than being concerned about that and whether that's what he should be doing or not, he was worried about his pocketbook. Okay? And they caused a great riot. Okay? And they had to get Paul out of there and, you know, send him somewhere else. Get him out of Ephesus. Okay? And so, anytime in our life when we put ourselves, our own worries above others, we've got a problem. Okay? Whether it be work, or school, or social organizations, or sports, or whatever the case may be, and there's nothing wrong with any of those. We need to be involved in all of those things, okay? But when we make those so important that we neglect our spiritual lives, okay, then we've got a problem. We've got a problem. Okay? And so those can come between us. And part of our spiritual life is to look around us, see the people around us, and say, what are their needs? Okay? We have poor people. We have hungry people. We have people that are ailing in their health. We have people that are lonely, people that are hurting. And we need to figure out how can we, as a body of Christ, minister to those people. Okay? They're there. They're always there. They're always going to be there. Okay? And we need to make a difference in those people's lives. They need to see God and Christ living through us. And so that's part of being a generous person. It involves our money, but it involves a lot more than that. When we think about around us today and we look out here in the society and we see all these drug dealers and porn dealers and all these type of people that are out there striving to take advantage of people to make all this money, okay, that's very similar to this situation we talked about with Demetrius over there in Ephesus. They have no concern for their victims, okay. All they're concerned is their pocketbook, okay? And whereas the opposite is true of Christians, we're concerned about those people, okay? We're concerned about their lives. We're concerned about what's happening to them, okay? And so we want to try to do what we can for them. Okay, so when we get in situations like this, just like old Demetrius, it causes us to neglect the things of Christ and look to our own affairs. Okay, over in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 5, there's a parable told over there about a king who had a banquet feast, and he sent out the invitations and bid the people to come in. Okay, somebody read that passage for me if you got it. 25 and verse 5.
Okay, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. This is the virgin.
And that's not the one I wanted, but that's the one I wrote down. Well, maybe it is the one. That's not what I thought it said, but that still applies there. And the fact is that they were sleeping and not doing what they should have been doing, okay? And then the bridegroom, when he came, it was a surprise to them, okay? And so that applies to us also, in the fact that just like Demetrius there, he was not concerned about the things that God wants us to do, but we put the I attitude in me. They were tired, they slept, they didn't do, they weren't busy doing the things that they should, okay? And basically, people, when the invitation comes, they say, well, I got this to do at work. I've got a golf tee time here at this particular time. And we put those things first and don't do what we need to do. And so then we put Christ on the back burner and things don't get done the way they should. Okay. Now, this can also, attitude can exist in a church that's very busy doing the things that should be done. Okay. And what I mean by that is, a lot of times we will see people that want the pat on the back. They want the recognition. Okay? And it's okay to recognize somebody. In fact, it's great to recognize people. But if that's our motivation for doing what we're doing, okay, then we've got a problem. A lot of times people will only take a responsibility if it's something that brings them, you know, the pat on the back. And they won't take this responsibility where they maybe don't get recognition, where people don't even know what they're doing, okay, because they want people to know, okay, and so that can creep in too. So we've got to be careful about things like that. We don't want to allow that to creep in. And if we get to the point where if I don't get any recognition, I'm not going to do it. So that's not a good thing to do. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the idea of tolerance. Now, start out by saying there are some things that we should never be tolerant of. What am I talking about? Sin? False doctrine? Okay. Now, in this world in which we live today, we're told, hey, everybody's got a right to do what they want to do. And if you're not accepting their right to do that, and I do accept their right to do it, but I accept the fact that they're wrong in doing it too. So the idea is, what I don't want to condone or to approve of what they're doing if it violates God's word. Okay? So there's some things that I should not be tolerant of. Okay? Now, this really came into play here a few years ago when gay marriages were legalized, okay, and people were just going ballistic. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? They're going to come sit in our pews. They're going to be worshiping with us. How are we going to handle that? Okay, well, bring them on in. Let them sit there. Okay, it's not our right to kick them out the door because they're in a that type of relationship, but we don't accept that. Okay, we teach them that what they're doing is wrong. Okay, there may even come a time when a little discipline is necessary. Okay, so whatever the case may be, but that sin is no worse than any other sin. So we have a problem with that in our life. We want to grade sins. Oh boy, this is a bad one here. We can't have that. But this is just a little white lie out there. We can that be okay. We'll let that one slide. It don't work that way. Okay, so we need to be careful about that. But when it comes to the idea of tolerance, what do we need to be tolerant of? In this world in which we live, there's all kinds of different people. There's all kinds of different cultures. Okay, there's all types of different attitudes, you know, in this world. Okay, and we're not all alike. Everybody can't be as perfect as I am. Okay. I'm married to a Yankee. I had a little culture shock. They don't do things exactly like I do. Her mom didn't cook exactly like my mom did, you know. So, you know, that's the way it is. We had a girl from Korea come over and live with us for several years. In fact, we couldn't get rid of her. We finally got her back over to Korea now. No, she's a good girl. But we learned a lot about Korean society, and they don't do things the way Americans do. Okay? Were they wrong? No. Was her family wrong because they didn't do the things the way I do wrong? No, it's not. I'm just saying that difference. Not wrong, not right, that's not the issue. Okay. What I'm talking about, the idea of tolerance. And that's the fact is I need to realize that other people are not like me. And I need to be able to, I hate to use that word tolerant, but I need to be able to accept that fact and allow them to be what they are. Okay. Now, we've got that problem in this world today when it comes to a lot of people from the Mideast. We hear the word Mideast and we automatically put a label on them, don't we? Oh, yeah. The Taliban. You know, all those groups over there. We'll mark them like that. There's some good people over there. Good people. Okay. And so we don't want to just label people like that. And just because people don't do things the way we do things does not mean that they're wrong in what they're doing. Okay. Now, we see this in churches also. You know, we go to a service over in Alabama or out in California or up in Washington or something. They may not do things the way we do them. Okay. Now, they have all the things in there that they're supposed to do. You know, and so I don't want to jump up and, you know, say, hey, you didn't do this right. You're supposed to do the communion after the songs, you know. You can't do that, you know. Well, see, that's not right. I need to understand that and allow, in my opinion, for people to do things the way they do them, okay? And as long as there's no violation of God's Word in there, then I accept that, okay? That goes for cultures. It goes for ideas. It goes for different parts of the country, okay? I learned a lot of tolerance. When I first met her family, they're huggers, okay? And my family was not. And when they got to hugging me, I'm like, you know, it took a while. Hey, but you know what? I like it. I had to come to like it, you know, but I like it. I didn't at first because I was standoffish. The same way with Sue from Korea. They don't hug over there, you know. And she told us, she said, I can't wait to get home. I'm going to teach those people how to hug, you know. She liked it, okay. So I'm just saying that just one way or another, there's no wrong or right. I just need to be able to accept it. Now, here's the point I'm getting at. Because there's a difference, be careful and don't judge people. Don't judge people, all right. And a lot of times we do that. Remember the story about the log in your eye? Let's see, where is that passage? I wrote it down here somewhere. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Somebody read that for me. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Okay, think there's a little tolerance involved in that? You know, just because they're doing things different than we are doesn't mean that they're wrong, and it might be my problem. Slim possibility, but, you know, it just might be there. We just need to take that into consideration. Just remember that possibly we could be the one that needs to make the changes. Okay, Romans 14 and verse 19. Someone read that for me. All right, whatever it takes to make peace, okay, that's what we want to do. Now, I'm not saying that we're tolerant to the point that we accept things that are unscriptural. That would be a mistake, okay? But now, I will accept somebody's right to say that, but I'm not going to accept what they say, okay? And in fact, I'm going to be the exact opposite. I'm going to say, well, I appreciate what you say, but this is what God says, okay? So we need to understand that. I was going to say something really important here. Okay, yeah, there it is. Just remember, no matter who you are, everybody is different. Everybody is different. No one's the same. And so we're not going to do things the same way. We're not going to call things by the same name. We're not going to act the same way. But tolerance is okay. In fact, you better have a little bit. Life's going to be rough for you. Okay? All right. So let's be a little more tolerant. Okay. The other thing I want to talk about is the idea of humility. I said we'd talk about this in a minute. Someone go over to Isaiah chapter 57 and read verse 15 for me. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. Verse 15. Okay. If you don't have humility in your life, you've got a problem. Okay? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. One, read that for me. Okay. See, that we have a saying in it's, I think it's a good saying. I don't know who came up with it. But as far as priority in our lives are concerned, who comes first? God comes first. God comes first in everything we do. All right. What we mess up is in that second part. Okay. Who comes next? Yeah. Others. Others come next. And we tend to put self before others. Okay. We're at the end of the list. We're down at the bottom. And I'm not saying it's wrong. In fact, it would be wrong for you not to be concerned about self, to take care of yourself. There's things we need to do as far as our health is concerned, for our family is concerned. That's good. Okay. But others always come first. So my attitude is when I have my outlook, when I'm looking out, God, others, and then self. Okay. So we have a little bit of a problem with that sometimes in our life. In fact, we have a lot of a problem with that in our lives sometimes. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3 in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5 and verse
3.
All right. And what does that mean? Who are the poor in spirit? Those who are humble. Galatians 6 and verse 12. Yes.
Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ.
Is that 6 and 12?
Yes.
All right. I must have wrote it down wrong again. I do that sometimes. I got it right in front of me and I write it down wrong. The idea is that when it comes to humility, we need to recognize our dependence upon God and God's grace. Okay? That's the humbleness now there. When that Pharisee and that publican were praying, okay, what did the Pharisee do? Oh, God, you're so lucky to have me. I tithe. I fast. You know, I give of my money to the alms. Okay? And God looked down and said, no. Okay? And what did the publican do? Yeah, he said he wouldn't even look up. Okay, that's kind of the idea of bowing your head. I'm not saying that's what you should do. I'm just saying that's one of the ideas. That's why we bow our heads, because we're not good enough to look at God. And he beat his chest and said what? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Okay, something that the Pharisee lacked. Okay, the humility, the fact that the publican realized that he was dependent upon God and upon God's grace for everything that he had. Okay? And so that's the type of attitude that we need to deliver. All right. Over in Luke chapter 17, starting about verse 7, there's another parable over there that they told. And I want you to understand this one. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 7. All right? I'm going to read this to you. Anybody there? Which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down and eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Do you think that servant, because he did these things that were commanded of him, or did he thank that servant? I should have said, okay, for these things. And then he said, I think not. Right, now listen to this next part. So look, likewise you, who does that mean? That's all of us. Okay, so likewise you, when you have done all those things which were commanded to you, say, we are just unprofitable servants. We have only done what it was our duty to do. Okay? So, looking for that pat on the back? No. No, no. Just a little humility and gratitude there. You've just done what you were supposed to do. Okay? That's it. Nothing more. Just what you were supposed to do. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the idea of gratitude. I saw a video the other day. You might have saw it, but I laughed so hard. This little girl, little bitty girl, they were praying a trick on her on Christmas Day, and she was sitting on the couch beside her mama, and they gave her a banana all wrapped up with a Christmas wrapping on it and a bow, and they wanted to watch her, and she opened it up, and I got so tickled because she opened it up, and she went, a banana! Oh, I'm so glad. Boy, she was just jumping up and down, and I'm going, wow. You know, and she told her mom, peel it for me, peel it for me, and she peeled it, and she started eating it. Now, what would you have done if you'd got a banana for Christmas, you know? They were thinking that this was a joke on her, and she just went crazy over this banana, okay? And I thought, my goodness, you know, what do we expect when people give us gifts? You know, do we get disappointed and say, oh, well, you know, that the best you could do, things like that, you know? We need to be grateful for the things that we have in life. We need to recognize that everything that we have is a gift from God, okay? And we might have set our expectations on something else, and then when we don't get it, you know, we become disappointed. But be grateful for what you have, okay? And I thought that was such a great little video. This girl, she's just going, oh, a banana! And I thought, goodness gracious, girl, calm down, you know? But she was excited because she got a gift, even though it was a banana, okay? Yeah. I got a message from one of my old college friends one time. He sent a message and says, all I got for Christmas was a chunk of coal. And I'm looking for somebody else that got a chunk of coal, and we'll get together and have a barbecue. Well, that's pretty good, you know. Hey, that's good attitude, you know. So anyway, Psalms 107, verse 8. We're quickly running out of time here, so. 107, verse 8. Okay, so where do their good gifts come from? Come from God. Let's thank God for all those things. Okay, a little gratitude never hurt anybody. All right, compassion. What is compassion? What does it mean to have compassion for someone? What? All right, empathy. I like compassion better because I don't know what empathy means. What does that mean? Okay, that means you have some kind of feeling, okay? And in order to have that feeling, I have to be aware that somebody around me has a need, okay? And so in order to meet that need, I have to have compassion on them and a desire to help them to relieve that need that they might have, a desire to minister to them in what they need. Now, ministry. See, a lot of times we misunderstand what it means to minister. We think the minister is standing up in the pulpit preaching. We are all ministers in that we see to the needs of other people. We minister to them. So we are all ministers. Okay? And so, we need to look around us, see what people's needs are, have compassion on them, and want to meet those needs, and then meet those needs. That's what it's all about. Okay, we're going to have to quit. We're out of time. We had a couple more things we could have mentioned. But go through that list over in 2 Peter chapter 1 and Galatians chapter 5. All those character traits, all those attitudes that God says, these are the things that you need to have in order to be mature. Okay? Comments, questions?